Praise the Lord. It is great to be here. And it is neat. When we started coming back here several years ago, it was neat because, again, my dad, Joe DeLeon, and my stepmom, Connie, brought me in when I was a kid. And so some of the seasoned saints remember me when I was a little bitty guy. But praise the Lord that God's mercy and grace just kept me safe through my rebellious years. Even though there was always people that God would send my way to knock on my door, and I would not turn it away. And it wasn't until March 7, 1999, that my wife and I both got saved at Edmond Road Baptist Church in Oklahoma, in Edmond, Oklahoma. And the Lord, it just became so real to us. And then I ended up calling my dad and my stepmom and letting them know, and say, hey, I got saved tonight. And I said, son, we've been praying for you for 17 years. And I was like, man, praise the Lord. So if my encouragement to you, if you have a family loved member and you're still praying for them and it's been so long, I'm a product of 17 years of prayer. I praise the Lord that they never gave up on me. I look back on it and you always do the what ifs and all of that kind of mess. But I praise the Lord. God allowed me to experience different things. But one of the things that led me and my wife is one of our favorite. We might have favorite verses that really speak to us. And for us is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. When we heard that, that was a salvation message to us. And so those passages are very near and dear to our hearts. I want to preach out of that. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 11. And I'm going to look at the last three verses of that Bible and of that chapter, excuse me, and look at those three and start in verse 28, Matthew 11, 28. And the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me pray. Lord, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day, Lord. We do thank you, Father, for this wonderful church here and that we're able to come to your house to worship you. Father, we do thank you for your precious word that we can look into and study and help us on our daily walk. Father, we just ask that we would just remove all distractions, Lord. Just lay the cares of this world aside. Let us just see your truth this evening. Give me the words to say and remove the words that do not need to be said. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. We do love you, and we ask all of this, your son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to look at this because, again, it spoke to us because as we were trying to be religious and trying to earn our way to heaven and do all these works, I found it very tiring, and I could never find satisfaction in it. And then when I heard, first of all, the word of God preached, it blew me away to hear the word of God preached going to the church my dad was going to up in Duncanville and hearing that. And I'm like, man, I've never heard of this before. I want more of it. And so, but then we got to this and going to a church near our house that we were able to hear this and just spoke to me that the Lord is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And I'm like, yes, I'm tired. But the Lord, take it. And he's willing to do that. And so my question for y'all is, have you ever been tired? You ever feel that need of rest? And, you know, funny things we'll say is that we go on vacation, and we get back, we're like, I need a vacation from the vacation because I'm so tired from the vacation. The driving and visiting families and visiting all the places we're going and seeing, and I know we're going to experience it. You know, for us, praise the Lord that we get to go back to our home, our other home church that we had when we lived in Oklahoma. They have a missions apartment that we get to stay in, and halfway, you know, I could make it. It's only, and I say only, but the over-the-road truck drivers say, yeah, it's only a 14-hour drive from San Antonio to Omaha. I mean, it's no big deal, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I could make it if I needed to. But I'm like, there's not a necessity. I'll just do half, 8 hours, eight and eight, let's do it or whatever, you know, just kind of take your time doing it. But we do get those times of where we're tired and then we need that rest. And we are a weary people because we rush from one activity to another. Pastor was just talking about how we got different things scheduled up for your church. And things happen. You know, we have life events going on. We have things in ministry scheduled. And, yeah, we get busy. We need some tire. We might have long work hours. You know, the boss asks you to stay late to do other things. Or there's a big project coming up. Hey, we're going to do overtime all this whole week or whatever. Things happen. But I praise the Lord that the Lord Jesus Christ invites us for that rest. Because we'll find stuff to get busy with. And that's the other thing, too, a little side note. I like rabbit trails. And so the amazing thing is that we will find time for something that we want to do. The Lord has put something on our heart to do something about a ministry or something to go start, to go witness to people. Like, I don't have time. I don't have time. Bro, sis, we can find time. We need to find that time. Rabbit's dead. All right. And so move on because I will find it in it because I'm the same way. I have these rabbits back up. Oh, man, there's another one. No, but I also struggle with that as well. I mean, I'm not like, hey, look at you people. How dare you not find time? Yeah, I look back at it. I'm just like, why did I waste time? Yeah. Scrolling. Ooh, like ding, reply. Hours, or you're trying to, you know, YouTube is a great tool. How do you do, look it up. Oh, there's another, after you watch the video, you know how to do it. Ooh, this is funny. 2 hours later, I'm like, God, I still haven't done this. We can find time for stuff. So I fall into that. So we just need to be mindful of that to find time. The Lord is, again, putting something on our heart, especially to go witness to a neighbor, a family member, somebody, a coworker. We need to do that because we need to find that time. And then, you know, again, verse 29, it talks about that we can have that rest. And it's rest for our souls. Our souls need that rest because we have spiritual struggles. We have things that we're praying for, lost family members, coworkers. Things that, you know, the Lord is dealing with you about something that you've read in the Word of God that you've been convicted about. And you're like, how do I do this? And whatever, we will get anxious. The Lord is saying, come unto me. I will give you rest. And we just need to go to him. And again, there's a quote from Henry David Thoreau. He said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. That, yeah, we will all find that. And again, they might have that ability to kind of keep things under control, so to speak, but we're all struggling in some way or another. And so we need that help. And many people, when they're struggling, they'll look to either a mate, a bottle, a pill, work, keep them busy, doing some type of pleasure, some type of entertainment to keep their mind busy, but there's no rest in it. And again, not realizing that there's nothing else or no one else in the world can give them peace and that rest that they seek. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, come unto me. I will give you rest. And that's the answer. And we are in an election time frame. The Republican, the Democrat, independent, they're not going to save this country. The only thing that's going to save this country is the Lord Jesus Christ. This nation would turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that they would then, again, as Christians stand up and men of God would stand up. That is another thing, another rabbit. As men, because I struggle with myself. As men, we need to lead our families. We need to stand up in the position that God has placed us into. That we as men would lead our family, lead our wives, our children in the proper things that should be done. We need to stand up. And if the men would stand up, the church will stand up. And then as the church will stand up, the neighborhood will stand up. And then it goes on to the city, to the state. We'll stand up for the things of God. But we take a step back from our duties that God has placed us. I remember being at a men's meeting in Oklahoma years ago. This is before we even moved up to Oklahoma. I think it was probably in 2005. And it stuck with me that it just is in my head that we have a position of authority that God has placed us from the Word of God where men should be leading. And there was a man on one corner and then a woman on the other corner. And so they're all facing God. And they said, the man has a position of leadership, But what does the man do? I don't want to do that. They take a step back. Well, then the woman, she sees her husband. Well, it's got to get done. So she's now out of position. And then man takes another step. And though she gets, we're out of place. The families are struggling. The wife is angry, upset with the husband. And then wife is like, why you quit nagging me, woman? Well, you're not in your place. And so, again, another rabbit. But it is necessary. It really is necessary. Because, I mean, again, I struggle. My wife reminds me, please lead. And I was like, yes. And I do it for a short time, and then what do? I'm like, try to get back to where I need to be. And so I'm not telling you because I have it under control. Look at me. I struggle with it. But just as an encouragement, as men, we need to lead our family. We need to lead our church. That we need to be where God has placed us to be. We need to be a part of that and carry it on. And so as we're going through and looking at all of this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. He will help us out. And so the first point, and I know y'all are short on time here, and I try to respect all of that. But the first point is the call to salvation. And for my wife and I, man, that came real. March 7, 1999, that it happened. And there's that plea that the Lord Jesus Christ delivers. That is the essence of salvation. Salvation is coming to Jesus. It's not coming to a church, to a creed, to a denomination, to a man. It's nothing like that. And I know we might have witnessed to people in our lives, and they're like, well, this church, this religion, what denomination? And then they go on this whole list. And we try to convey, it's none of that. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a personal relationship. I'm so glad that it is personal, because what if my family was, you know, my dad and beyond and all that did not serve the Lord? Well, then, okay, if it's all, you know, but because of your family's not serving God, you have no chance. I praise the Lord that it's an individual choice. And so even if you are, your family is, just because you have a generational, four or five generations of preachers and all missionaries and all this, that's great. That's a wonderful testimony. But what are you doing with Jesus Christ? It's an individual call. It is a call to salvation. And so 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so it is very clear. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we doing with the Lord Jesus Christ? And then we look at the people he describes. He refers to those he has been dealing with in the chapter. And if you look at the rest of the beginning part of the chapter of Matthew 11, we think of the people who are doubting. That's John the Baptist doubting the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 1 through 6, are you here or do we look for another? We're like, a little while ago you were saying, behold the Lamb of God. Yep. Now he's in jail. And it's like, is that the one? I mean, so we can get to the doubting stage of our life. We're like, well, was that it or no? I remember early on in my Christian walk that I doubted my salvation because of the response from my family, because we were so excited about being saved. We're telling our family, look, I'm going to heaven. I got saved. They're like, why'd you want to do that? It is going and going, and just like put a wet blanket on us. I'm like, oh man. And then they were just like, how could you do this to your kids? And this on and on and on, this whole thing. And then I'm like, well, did we do the wrong thing? I'm like, but I think that we saw from the Word of God. I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, man, I was like, and then the Holy Spirit was like, they're wrong. You're mine. And I was like, man, praise the Lord. And so you get that confirmation. And so if there's somebody here that is doubting their salvation or like, man, I don't know about this, man, talk to God. I praise the Lord, because it's between you and God that about the salvation. He'll let you know, yes, you're one of mine, or no, you haven't got that right. You just said some words. That was it. You didn't mean it, you know. And so, because we can get caught up. We are, another rabbit, we are a people, peer pressure. I remember as a kid, peer pressure was huge. I'm like, cool, I'm an adult. No more peer pressure. Then I joined the military. About peer pressure. And okay, go to work. I'm peer pressure still. I'm like, seriously? Like, I thought it was going to end at some point. Peer pressure. We want to be part of something. But the peer pressure, Maybe you did something, either, you know, the salvation or a calling, because, you know, a couple people are going, I'll go up too, okay, and just kind of go up. You know what? Get it settled. You know, maybe did I just go because of other people or whatever it might be? Ask God. He'll let you know and get it settled. And I praise the Lord that he will not leave you in limbo just kind of doubting, like, I don't know, pondering, I guess, figure it out. No, he will let you know you're one of his or not. And so, again, as we're looking at, again, the people struggling with doubt, there was also the yoke of religious legalism, verses 17 through 19. And people can really find about religious legalism real quick. And that's the amazing thing. People under conviction, when you have standards from the Word of God, well, you're just being legalistic. It's in the Word of God. What are you talking about? I'm like, it's right here. I'm not making it up. I'm like, God says. And here's the thing. I remember as a young Christian, the amazing thing is, of course, I was in the Navy. I got medically retired. And I was like, cool. I don't have to cut my hair anymore. This is great. So I let my hair grow. Because I saw a Christian music artist had long hair. I'm like, ooh, I can grow my hair now. This is great. All right. And boy, did I let it go. It got right around here. It was way down there. I had a ponytail. It was that long. I pulled it to the back, just let it go. And then they had an announcement at church that they were looking for a couple to take a Sunday school class for the in-betweens, you know, the tweenagers. And so, because they were too old for the kid, but too young for the high school. And I'm like, hey, cool. And so we're like, hey, let's go do that. I want to do that. And so at the end of the service, I said, hey, Pastor, I'm like, I like to do that. And he's like, come into my office. I'm like, okay. I was like, this is great. Is there a contract I got to sign? I said, what is this? I'm so excited. And so then he turns to the Bible. I'm like, okay, what's this? And he goes to, you know, 1 Corinthians 11. You know, does not nature itself teach you that it is shame for a man to have long hair? He goes, what are you going to tell your kids about that? Your students. And I was like, oh. He goes, there's your answer. And I was like, okay. I said, I've never seen that before. I'm like, wow. Huh. So I went home. That was a Sunday night. And so it just stuck with me. And I'm like, man, I say, but I want to serve, but I've never seen that verse in the Bible. I didn't know about that. And so what I did was like, okay, well, this has to go then. So I went and I said, hey, take a picture of it one last time. Look at how long it got. I'm like, wow. But got my hair cut. Didn't think nothing of it. Came in on Wednesday. Pastor was blown away. He's like, whoa. He was like, you cut your hair? I'm like, well, yeah, because the Bible said you showed me. And I'm like, what, are we not supposed to follow the Bible? And I'm just like, what? I was kind of like dumbfounded. But he was just like, man, he's like, look at that. And again, for me, I guess coming from a military background, there's regulations, there are instructions, there's something that's out there. Okay, that's what we follow. It was easy to be in the military. There's things to do, duties of the day, boom, follow it, let's go. Uniform of the day, boom, that's what we did. No big deal. So following the Word of God, to me, is so logical. I was like, I did it for so long. Yes, okay, Lord, that's what it is. There's principles in it. And again, as I learn more, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not supposed to do that anymore. Okay, stop doing that. Okay, hey, I'm supposed to be doing this. Man, praise the Lord that God preserved his precious word for us to study in it, to know how we are to walk daily and how we are to deal with other people. And so I praise the Lord that it's in there. And then also there's the people with the bondage of sin in verses 20 to 24 that people were struggling there. And again, I'm going to start moving a little faster because I know I'm running out of time. But as we're going through and talking about the bondages of sin, one of the favorite books of the Bible is the book of Romans. And in particular, chapter 6. It was years ago that I heard it's the sin chapter. It's a beautiful how Paul wrote it. But I just want to read this section here. If you can be free from the bondage of sin, you don't have to go this way. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And man, Paul lays it out so plainly for us to know about sin that, yes, we were dead, or we were bondage to sin. But I praise the Lord that the Lord Jesus Christ, we are free from sin, that he paid that sin debt that we owed against God, that he paid it freely for us. And it's that gift of salvation that we're able to. So if you want to be free, come to Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. And again, the promise that he declares about that rest, that quietness, calmness, that peace, that refreshment, that we are all to be given that rest. Again, we are given peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we also have rest from our attempts to please God. And again, going back to my religious activities that I was trying to do, first of all, trying to keep peace with my wife. She wanted to go and do things of God. I was like, fine, we'll go. But I never had any desire to know my God. Again, raised as Catholics, we were just doing the Catholic thing. But I wanted to make peace because my wife wanted to go. And I would drag my feet to go. I never got anything out of the Catholic services. At any time, all the years that way, I would go. But my wife had the desire to serve God and please God. So I was like, fine, we'll do the religious things. Let's do this. And so we started doing stuff. Never got fulfillment. I always got tired. But I'm also thankful that God did that for us, that he paid the sin debt. Again, that invitation to come into me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And boy, was I heavy laden. I had so many things on my back trying to please my wife, trying to please God and serve God and all these religious activities that I was doing. And struggling and under the sheer weight. And I remember that night after I cried out unto God for salvation that I felt like I could stand up. I'm like, I'm actually lighter. I'm like, man, I said, praise the Lord. I was like, I don't have to, because I felt like I was walking in a church like this, just like heavy loaded. And a pastor had mentioned that I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy for 10 years, but prior to that, I was Army Reserve for a couple of years right out of high school. I was 17. My mom signed for me. So I joined up. And so I had 2 years in that. And I happened to be part of a machine gunner crew, the M60 crew. So there's three people to that. There's the machine gunner. They have the extra barrel carrier and the ammo bearer, the mule. That was me. I carried all the ammo, my ammo, and my 70-pound rucksack. And so I was like, that's what I felt like, carrying all of that ammo, huffing it. And out there, mule. I'm like, here we go. All right, here we go. And that was my duty, and I being part of that gunner. And so that's what I felt like. That's what I pictured, trying to do all these religious activities. And then Jesus said, "Come unto me, I will give you rest." And I was like, whew. He took off my ruck, and all my ammo just dropped. And I was like, whew. I can stand upright. I'm like, man, praise the Lord. Now I have fellowship with God. And I'm like, man, again, there's that calmness about our salvation also. Romans 8, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I praise the Lord that we get to go to other churches. Anytime we're on vacation or traveling around, or if I'm traveling for work, I will find a church to go to. I want to be in church on midweek service on Sunday if I'm there on the weekend. And I tell our people as well, if you're traveling, find a church where you're going to be at vacationing. Go to a church. And I've been to a couple of churches where there is not that much fellowship there. And it's just like, man, and that's sad. And I also had some people say, I'm a Christian. And then you're talking to them, you're like, no, you're not. Your spirit is not bearing witness with my spirit. And I can tell just from their communication that they're giving off. And so I start sharing, oh, wow, I believe in God. And they start going on this whole thing. All right, you're not quite grasping it. So I said, let's try to go into a little more detail. And it always ends up something like, oh, you're judging me. I was like, I'm just sharing the gospel. I'm sharing the gospel with you because you need it. Everybody needs the gospel to share, get shared to. And so, again, there's also that quietness about our future. And this right here, I'm so thankful. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm so glad it is a whosoever salvation. It's not to a certain people, a certain region. And it breaks my heart to hear stories of some churches that they will look at the color of a person's skin, and they were like, well, we'll give them this tract that doesn't have the church address. Yeah, we're giving them the gospel. We want them to come to our church. I'm like, or they're like, oh, they're at that side of town. Yeah, give them not the church address. We'll give them the gospel. Just hand it to them. We won't talk to them. We'll go, ooh, they have money over here. We'll give them the church address. We want them to come. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? I don't understand that. And people that have hatred for other people, I don't understand that. Because, again, it's a whosoever salvation. For God so loved the world. Praise the Lord. It's the whole world. And, again, we also have that refreshment for our journey as we're walking through this town or through this earth that Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And praise the Lord for that. Again, we have that refreshment. Then also there's that command to surrender. God, you know, he's in this verse, he's commanding us to surrender. Salvation always precedes surrender. And again, we can't live like a married man until you're married. It's pretty self, you know, it's pretty simple stuff. And same thing, after you're saved, you should live like a saved person. Again, I praise the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Those old ways are dead. We ought not to be the old same sinner that we were. We ought to have new desires in our heart. I was sharing with friends of ours my testimony about that night. I wasn't raised in Bible preaching churches. Yes, I did come a couple times, but it was just a handful of times that I've even heard the Bible preached. I did not hear anything about alcohol, about tobacco, about any other stuff. But I was, by world standards, a functional alcoholic. I had beer every night. And the weekend, I would kill a 24-pack, wouldn't even think nothing of it. Kill a fifth of vodka, wouldn't even think nothing of it. That was my weekends for me, and that's the way I'm going to be. And so I looked at all that. But that night, when I came home, I was saved. And I said, my refrigerator, because it was Saturday before that I had stocked up, I wanted to get some Kool-Aid or something. I forget what it was. I opened up the refrigerator, and I stopped, and I saw all that beer. And it was the Holy Spirit saying, we don't do that anymore. And so I'm like, well, that's got to go. And so I went to the sink, right, turned around. And before, I wouldn't mind the smell of beer. I was like, yeah, this is great. And I just go. But as I was pouring it out, I was getting nauseated. I was like, man, I said, that's all of God. That's not me. I was like, you attained, you know, some type of maturity. I'm like, no, it's because God took that desire from me. Also, my language. Again, I embraced the sailor attitude. What every stereotypical sailor idea you have, that's what I embraced. The filthy mouth. I hate it. Looking back on it, I don't want to go back. And it shames me to say this, but looking back when I was a sailor, the filthy things that I would say, I wouldn't care who was around. I would just let it fly. And if you got offended, that's on you. And I would go again. The Navy taught me how to push buttons. I can start pushing buttons. I got real good at it. I don't want to do that. And so I would purposely push people's buttons. I look back at that. And so that night, the Lord cleaned up my tongue. I think it was probably a week afterwards, a curse word did come out. And it felt to me like I literally just went out to the pavement outside and licked it. It was dirty. I'm like, I was like, stopped. I was like, why did I use that word? The English language has many words to describe, discuss, hate, whatever. You don't have to use that F word or whatever other words that you're throwing in there. And so I look back and I'm like, man, Lord, forgive me for that. I was like, where'd that come from? And so, again, God is the one that cleaned me up. And yes, there's other struggles in my life, but I give it over to the Lord. And the Lord gives me victory over it. And I praise the Lord for that. But again, that command to surrender, that as we look at this yoke as a wooden implement, it allows the two oxen to pull a load together. It harnesses the power of both the beasts to pull that load and attempt to move it. And I'm praise the Lord that that image of that yoke also, it is to speak of submitting to a teacher's instruction. To show me, let me learn of this. And that's the same type of yoke. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is letting us know, to try to surrender, because we can have an independent spirit that says, I got this under control. I know how to do things. I have so many degrees, or I have attained this, or whatever. I got this. If we start doing things, we'll end up making a mess. And so we just need to let the Lord Jesus Christ take control and help us. Then also we must surrender to that partnership that he is calling us to go not alone. He is there with us. There's a lot of times when we go and we have to go do something, and we're like, anybody else want to go? Nobody? Okay, it's just by myself. I got to go do something. But I tell you what, when the Lord Jesus Christ is with you and you're in the yoke, you're not alone. It's the Lord Jesus Christ helping you in that situation. Amen. When he tells us to go witness to a person, or you know what? Hey, volunteer for this ministry. You're like, man, you're out of your comfort zone. Yes, we need to get out of our comfort zone. Because, again, to step outside of where we're comfortable. Because, again, the Lord Jesus Christ is there with us to helping us walk, to help us move on. And, again, he will give us the strength. And a lot of times, especially when you're witnessing to somebody, you're giving out a gospel tract, and you're like, I don't know what to say. Tell them your testimony. Because you were there with God. You know what you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and what happened there. Tell them your testimony. Praise the Lord for that. And we need to rehearse that. And we need to go back to that time as well, so it is fresh in our mind. Because the time when we have missionary letters come in and like, hey, man, they had a conference in this little village and 14 people got saved. You're like, oh, hey, 14 people. Hey, that's cool. All right, that's great. No, it'll be like, yes, 14 people, praise the Lord. You ought to rejoice. I don't know who they are, but man, praise the Lord, I'm excited for them. What, I don't even know how to pronounce the name of that village, but man, praise the Lord, 14 people got saved. Hallelujah, let's go. And that ought to excite us. If we get to the point to where, so-and-so got saved. That's nice. What is wrong with you? We need to examine our hearts because we're not right with God. That ought to give us some excitement so that we can get excited also to, like, you know what? I also want to go, because that's the other thing too. If you're out door knocking, and yes, there are many doors. I don't care. You slam the door. They slam the door. All right. But you're going through. You're like, man, but there's always that one. You're like, man, praise the Lord. You're like, I'm getting tired. But like, boom, you get that encouragement. You're like, okay, let's go. 15 more. Let's come home. Let's go. And you continue on because God gives us that encouragement because we need it. Again, we're not going alone. But also, again, that challenge to serve. Lastly, because I know I'm already over time, but I'm trying to wrap it up quickly. But again, our partner in service. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ is there giving us the words to say. We need to have Bible verses memorized so that we can easily communicate. But we can also use it. Okay, hold on. I know where it is. Let me do a quick search. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Here's that verse. It's great and all. That's great. But sometimes we look and like, oh, man, I got 2% of my battery. It's going to die on me. What's that verse? You know what? Hey, you're already ready. Let's go. We have that verse memorized. But it's also awesome to have, you might have read it before, but you know you don't have it memorized. But yet you're witnessing somebody, and that verse is coming out. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's like, I know you've read it before. Here it is. And that's what we're saying unto the people, and that's the verse they need to hear. And so we can have all this stuff, because I've done it myself. Really. I feel the Lord leading me to go witness to that person. I'm like, okay, but what if they say this? Okay, I'm going to say this. And they say this. Okay, I'm going to counter with this. I'm having this whole debate. I didn't even walk 2 feet to go talk to them. I'm like, oh, then they're going to answer me this. And then, oh, I got to come back with this in my mind. I'm like, they're starting to walk away. I'm like, hello. I'm like, you're having a 35-minute conversation. And I'm like, in your mind, debating yourself. I'm like, just go say hi. Give them the track. I mean, something, the Lord will give you the words to say. We ought not to, because, again, I've done that. They say this. I can, boom, I've been studying about this one. Okay, cool, I got this one. Well, wait. What if he says this one? I was like, I don't know where that one verse is at. Let me start writing stuff down. I'm like, bro, he's not asking for a sermon notes, you know, to get going. Just go talk to them, you know. And that's what the Lord leads us. Again, it could be simple. Just hand them a track. You know what I'm saying? And today, the Lord gave me this to give to you. And sometimes it might be easy as that, but Another thing we always say is like, hey, I don't know if you go to church, you have a church home. We'd like to invite you out on Sunday night or Wednesday, whatever. Oh, I go to church, so I'm saying, hey, cool. We're not trying to steal anybody. But then they're actually in engaging. Well, let's have a conversation. You know where you'll spend eternity? Oh, that's a personal thing. Well, amen. The question is, do you know? And so it is, maybe it'll go that way. You can kind of read them, and that's how it goes. And it's like, well, how do you know? I was like, okay, well, that's your testimony. Oh, big open door. Let me tell you. And you walk right through it. That's what we need to do. And it might be something like, well, I don't have time. We don't read this on your own time. When we're out at the, and I try to keep them in my wallet, and I have these. I got these on my own. It says, thank you. They're just little cards that I leave. It says, thank you for your excellent service. When I go to a restaurant, it has a Plan of Salvation on the back. I leave my tip, and boom, and I leave it to them. Or if I'm in the grocery store, they give you the receipt. Here you go. Thank you for your excellent service. Or you actually a bigger track or whatever. Hey, read this when you get on your break, whatever. Something simple as that. You never know where that track is going to end up. And so we just need to be giving out the gospel tracks. And again, I'll wrap this up here. I skipped over a bunch of stuff here. But as again, the Lord leads us, and as we're walking with God, we need to continually serve Him. And we have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big band leader, Tommy Dorsey. I was very into, I thought I was born in the wrong era. I loved World War II, big band. It's like, oh, it's great. Listen to a bunch of it. But Tommy Dorsey was deeply affected by the loss of his wife, Nettie, and their newborn son in 1932. During this grief, he felt a sense of peace and spiritual renewal, which inspired him to compose Precious Lord, Take My Hand. The melody and lyrics there, he did all that. And the song became a beloved gospel classic sung by many noble artists, and including Mahalia Jackson, who performed it at Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral. So things in our life might be used to draw us closer to God, that God's getting our attention. Sometimes we get too focused on the things of this world that God's been tugging on us and trying to deal us. And we're just focused, and God's pulling, and God's pulling. Sometimes we need to smack upside the head. We need something to wake us up. We're like, whoa, I've been trying to reach you. And so it might be something like that, that again, the death of his wife and the newborn drew him closer. And it all depends, again, how we look at it. So are we weary and tired of the struggles of life? Are we exhausted from the storms that we are called to face? Are you worn out from trying to serve him in the power of your flesh? Are you tired from the burden of sin? There is rest in Jesus for those who will come to him. Again, here are his words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we'll have a time of invitation, but however the Lord has spoke to you, because I used to say, if the Lord spoke to you. No, the Lord speaks to you. Are we responding? Or are we just going to turn a deaf ear and just kind of, shrug it off. The Lord has spoken. What area of your life needs to be adjusted? We all need adjustments. And if you're here and you're lost, you just came, this was a salvation message for me and my wife. We were struggling in our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And those of us that are saved, how is our walk? We all can do better. We all can improve areas of our life. And if there's that area that God has dealt with you, come to an old-fashioned altar. Go before God. And we'll have a pastor come up, and we'll have a time of invitation here. And you do business with God. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to preach the message that God laid on my heart. And again, those verses are very dear and near to my wife and I. And I just wanted to share how God moved in our life, and that you too can have that rest as well. And we'll have that time of invitations. Go ahead and stand. Lord, dear Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this time, Lord, and this message. And again, Father, you just move in a mighty way during this time, Father. You have free will and reign. We love you, and we ask all of this, your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.